In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear children of God, at this Feast of the Holy Innocents, I am sure that you all had a very sentimental Christmas, complete with sleigh bells and eggnog and a stroll down memory lane with your family. But today, all of our starry-eyed sentimentalism has been brought to a grinding halt. Following on the heels of Christmas is the most bloody of the feasts, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, the baby boys of Bethlehem are massacred by the wicked tyrant King Herod, who is bent on his own power. He seeks to destroy the Christ child, but to make sure he gets him, he orders the murder of all the baby boys of Bethlehem. And so the houses of Bethlehem are now stained with the blood of the holy innocents. I don't know if we have any babies here this morning or not, but if we do, and if the babies should start to cry during my sermon, I can hardly blame them. This is pretty tough stuff to hear. The light has come into the world, and the darkness is waiting to put it out. O bloody town of Bethlehem, how shrill we hear thee cry. Your mothers shriek while fathers weep the graveyard lullaby. For butchers clad as soldiers at Herod's mad behest, a boarded wheel with blades of steel they thrust in tender chest. Are these holy innocents are the first to shed blood on account of Christ coming into the world. For the last 1600 years, the church has called them little flowers, or still better, sweet flowerets, just as we sang in the hymn a few minutes ago. We called them sweet flowerets of the martyrs' band. And so on this Feast of the Holy Innocents, I want to pose a question. When darkness looms, can flowers bloom? The likes of King Herod are very much a constant in history. In preparation for this sermon, I researched an international group of torturers and murderers that actually appeared in our own country in L.A. in 1980. To the United States government, it is classified as MS-13. It is made up of people who came here to spread the violence from their country into ours. Initiation into this bloodthirsty society consists of 13 seconds of beating. They prefer machetes to guns, hacking off limbs prior to decapitation, and they favor the prolongation of pain. 5 years ago, about 6 years ago, the United States government declared them a terrorist group. At that time, they estimated there could be as many as 8,000 to 10,000 of them in our country. Now, I can only think of the verse from Isaiah. Men who are swift to shed innocent blood. Now, MS-13 is a clone of King Herod. We cannot exaggerate the evil to which people will commit themselves. Now, concerning Herod, he reigned in Palestine with the consent and protection of the Roman occupiers. He was a cruel and unjust tyrant. Now, a little apologetics is in order here. Secular sources confirm what the New Testament says about Herod being a cold, murderous ruler. Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, tells us that Herod actually murdered quite a number of his family members, including his mother-in-law. You see, Herod was paranoid. He thought that everybody was after his power. And they were. But you see, we don't have to do like some and think that we have to dismiss what the New Testament says here about Herod doing this with the babies, because there are sources outside the Bible that simply are consistent with the New Testament portrait of him. In his reaction to the birth of Christ, the gospel gives us an eternal portrait of earthly authority, whose sole purpose and full strength is devoted to holding, wielding, and defending its power against any perceived threat to its existence. So Herod hears a king has been born. Now this goes to show you the ancients took bloodlines very, very seriously. For Herod, it was enough that the mysterious wise men from the east should give the title king to this newborn baby. Nothing more was needed to set in motion the machinery of criminal investigation, search, interrogation, and persecution. And then the Bible continues. Then Herod secretly called the wise men. It had to be in secret. For this kind of authority knows it can only operate when its work is carried out in secret. And that means without law, without justice. And then go, Herod commands the wise men. Search diligently for the child. The order has been given to investigate, to build a case. Prepare it carefully, so there should be no blunders or slip-ups as the reprisal is ready. And then a lie. Bring me word that I too may come and worship him. How often we see this kind of lie taking shape so methodically as it prepares to strike. And finally, the insane, bloody reprisal. Destroy one, but kill all. Take no chances. Stop at nothing. All to protect the coveted power that knows of no other means of support except violence, cruelty, and the readiness to kill. When darkness looms, can flowers bloom? A brief digression. I cannot think of a more thoughtless, uncritical sentiment than when I hear people say, "We're all God's children." Edith Bunker on All in the Family used to say that. "We're all God's children." And she had to blur some distinctions to say it like that, you see. So, you think God looks at the earth and he sees everybody the same? At his trial in Athens, even Socrates, a pagan, he remarked that he hoped to go to a God who could tell the difference between a good person and a bad person. Even he could appreciate, you know, there's good and bad here. But if we're just glibbing, we're all God's children, and there is no difference between MS-13 and their victims, then nothing makes sense. I do not want to spend eternity with a God who cannot tell the difference between Hitler and those who perish in his gas chambers. We got to think this through carefully. We're not all God's children. The whole goal of the incarnation is to make us God's children. The aim of the incarnation is to send the Holy Spirit by whom we are made His children. Remember what we hear in John's Gospel. See, He came to His own, but His own received Him not. But to those who received Him, He gave the right or the ability to become the children of God. See, it's all a matter of becoming the children of God. Like Jesus, we're not born of the flesh nor of the will of man, you see. Just because you are born of a mama doesn't make you a child of God. You're the child of your mama, but that doesn't make you a child of God, you see. You become a child of God by being reborn in the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus once told Nicodemus. Unless one is born from above of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul will say, it's by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. We have been made His children. And if you call God Father without the Holy Spirit, you're just faking it. And it's not going to last long. Okay? Now, I mention this only because 5-6 years ago, when the United States government declared MS-13 a terrorist group, the report called them animals. My dog, Cletus, is very offended. They should be called animals. You see, some animals can be domesticated. Animals carry the capacity for elevation. Now, my dog, Cletus, is proof positive of this. When I picked him up from the animal shelter 2 years ago, he had zero morals. Now, slowly but surely, he's being elevated. Today, he has two. See? But Cletus thinks that he can participate in the human experience. He doesn't want to eat the chow I put in his bowl. He wants to eat whatever I'm eating. And he thinks he should sit in my chair. And I wouldn't be surprised a bit if I went home this afternoon and he'll be reading the newspaper. But you see, we all know this. Animals can be incorporated into the family, elevated. And you're going to call them murderous thugs of MS-13, you know, animals. Cletus is very offended. This is only a faint analogy of what God does for us. He domesticates us, not by making us His pets, but by making us His children. And here we are. We have been brought into the household of faith, and by His indwelling Spirit, our humanity is being elevated into the likeness of the new Adam. Okay. But let us finish the gospel. When Herod would destroy Mary's baby, God saw to it the Holy Family should escape safely. And so Mary and Joseph took the divine child and fled to Egypt, where they enjoyed asylum well out of the reach of Herod. And there they hunkered down until the coast was clear and they learned that Herod was dead. Now God was hiding the divine child in His pocket. God was saving the holy child for another day. You see, no one will take His life from Him. But on another day, He must freely, willingly, voluntarily lay down His life so that His innocent death might bring eternal life to the holy innocents and to all those who believe on Him. And so Mary and Joseph and the child become a poor refugee family fleeing to Egypt. They had a long road ahead of them, but the baby boys of Bethlehem, they did not have a long road ahead of them. They were given eternal life in God. And I would want to say to the mothers of these babies of Bethlehem, just what I would say to any Christian mother who has lost a child or a little baby. I would want to say to them, of course we are sad and life is very difficult, but you should know that God has given your little child cuts to eternal life. And there is nothing that children want more than to get cuts in line. My friends, the light of Christmas has met the darkness of malevolent power corrupted by fear and suspicion. On the one side, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, His goodwill towards men. On the other side, a terrifying, perpetual bad will towards men, which hates the light, love, beauty, goodness, and seeks to uproot them with no pity. 2,000 years have passed since that time, but the same two faces continue to face each other on this long-suffering planet. The authority of naked power, terrifying in its cruelty, and the radiant authority of Bethlehem's child. It may seem that all power and might is in the hands of earthly authority, its police, interrogators, kangaroo courts, and caterer late-night operatives. But only apparently. Herod has died, and the image of Herod has long worn off Roman coins. But the image of the mother and the child never stop shining. O Bethlehem, thou house of tears, what balm can heal thy woes? When darkness looms, can flowers bloom from seeds of grief you sow? Dear heaven, share thy secret. These sons died not in vain. Young martyrs bold in death foretold a death that life would gain. Ye martyred boys of Bethlehem, from neath the altar pray to Christ your Lord, whom Herod's sword slew not that awful day. O Rachel, Rachel, weep not. Your sons shall dry your tears, for flowers bloom where darkness loomed, since Christ our light appears. Amen.